Well, we're back in our series in the book of Galatians this morning, Galatians chapter 3, and we're coming to the climax of an argument that Paul has been making about who we are and how we have relationship with God, not by our works, but by the works of Christ. That the law has been a guardian to tutor us to Christ, but that Jesus by faith is received. And when he is received, we are children of God. Not only children of God, we are the sons of God. Children with identity and inheritance. And so would you hear God's word this morning? Let's pray together and we will consider the beauty of this passage this morning. Father in heaven, how thankful we are that we may come and in coming receive the goodness of your word. Father, you make a people for yourself, and we are delighted to come as the people of God this morning to hear your word. So, Father, speak. Illuminate by your Spirit the truths of this word that we may receive, and because we have received, that we may be transformed in the likeness of Christ. Father, would you this morning remind us who we are and whose we are because of the goodness of your word. So this which is constantly and consistently true for our lives, apply it, we ask, in Jesus' name. Amen. Hear the word of God. For in Christ Jesus, you are all sons of God through faith. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male and female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are in Christ, and if you are Christ's, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to promise. Brian Chappell tells the story of a missionary family. They had worked long in a certain country, and in that country they worked with the poorest of the poor, and out of a slum came a little boy that captured their heart, and he came into their home, and they adopted him. They made him their own. He was a young boy with many needs, and he was loved dearly by this family. They had placed their love upon him, and he had been called into their home, and he was wrestling with his new identity. And one day, Mom and Dad knew that the son from the slum, had returned to an orphan mentality. The son from the slum had taken a comb, his father's comb, and he had put it in his pocket. He had stolen Dad's comb. Now, in reality, it probably wasn't that big a deal, except for all that it meant in him taking something from the family. And so he was confronted by his mom and dad. They came to him in a gentle and generous fashion, and they said, "Son, we know that you have stolen your dad's comb." And the boy denied it. Vehemently, he denied that he had taken the comb. And the mom said, "I know you have the comb. It's in your pockets." Knowing that he was caught red-handed, the son ran out of the room, ran into his bedroom, and got in the very back corner under his bed. His mom, she came to him first. She got down on the ground. She laid on the floor by his bed. She picked up the little underskirt. She looked under the bed and she said, "Son, it's okay. You're okay. Son, what you did not get you into this family. And what you have just done will not get you kicked out of this family. We love you." You know, there is the heart of God. There's the heart of God in our adoption. There's the heart of God for the children of God, the sons of God, as our passage declares this morning. What we have done, that this is Paul's argument. What we have done, it is not what we have done that gets us into the kingdom of God, that gets us into the family of God. What we have done by our natural works would oppose us to the family of God. But God overcomes. God justifies. He clears the judgment against us. He makes us His children because His only Son, Jesus, has stood in our place, died on a cross, been risen from the dead, so that we might be sons and daughters of the God Most High. This is the climax of Paul's argument for us this morning. It's not what you do. That's not our justification before God. It's not what you do. It is what Jesus has done in our place. And the gift of that is that judgment is removed. But the beauty of that goes so much further. The truth is, as has been said by some, is that we are not a guest in God's house. No, when God claims us, He makes us family. If you are in Jesus, you are a son of God, with all the rights and privileges of being an heir in the beauties of Christ. It's a beautiful thing. One of the greatest gifts of the Christian life is that we become children of God. When He justifies us, that removes the judgment against us. But God goes further. He says, "You're mine. Come home. You're mine. Come home." You know, sometimes many of us get that. We get the need to be a child of God. But sometimes many of us, if we're honest, in our hearts, we're hidden in the back corner under the bed, hiding out from God, aren't we? We get that orphan mentality. One of the hardest things to kick in humanity, when God has come to us so graciously, one of the hardest things to kick in our humanity is that orphan mentality and lifestyle that runs from God when we ought to run to Him. Which runs from God when we ought to run to Him. But the beauty of the gospel reminds us again and again that God has received us. And God has resolved to make us His own. We belong to God, not as slaves, but as sons. Not as slaves, but as sons. Now, there are some of you going, "Now, Wade, why sons? Why didn't you put sons and daughters there?" Not as slaves, but as sons. And the picture there is not a knock on gender. It's not. It's not a knock on male and female. God made us male and female, and it's a beautiful way that we demonstrate the image of God. Gender is a gift. But here Paul is speaking of something very particular. In the ancient Near East, the way that the inheritance traveled was through the eldest son. And the eldest son shared. That was the hope for the family and its well-being. And so when God says that you're not a slave, you're a son, we don't want to change that because it's the beauty of our identity and our inheritance. By faith, as children of God, we are bound to the Father by the work of the Son. Now, sometimes we wrestle with that orphan motif. Sometimes we really wrestle with an orphan posture. You ever wrestle with kind of that orphan mentality? I'm not lovable. God, you can't love me. And so some people get that in their head. They get that in their heart. I'm not lovable. God, you can't love me. And so what they do is they reject to not be rejected. It's one of the things I often see in human adoptions, by the way. In families that are having kids and bring kids into their home, the fear of loss actually leads them to rejection of the very one who loves them most. And it's something that you got to wrestle through and work through. But it's true in Christianity, too. There are moments, there are failures, there are sins, there are struggles, aren't there, in our lives, where we hit that moment where I wouldn't love me, so how can God love me? I am unlovable, you can't love me. And rejection grabs the soul. It's an orphan posture. Not a posture of sonship. God, I'm yours, help. But an orphan posture, a rejection. But the other way that often happens when we feel unlovable is that we will say to ourselves, I'm unlovable, God can't love me, so I've got to prove myself to God. That's moralism. Rather than rejecting God, we try harder and harder and harder. And the failure there is that we're relying on ourselves rather than on Jesus. Relying on ourselves rather than Jesus. And the beauty of our salvation, the beauty of your salvation, if you're trusting in Jesus this morning, is that God has resolved you to draw you into the family, to love you into real change. When you feel like you have to prove yourself to God, that is an orphan posture. When you feel like you've got to make it right with God, then you are depending on yourself rather than depending on Him. And the way Paul comes to the church at Galatia is to confront that very motif, that very theme in their hearts. You see, there are different ways to get it wrong. And Paul knows that in the church at Galatia, they have started with Jesus, but now they have decided that they must do it for Him. And the heart of the gospel abhors us. Living for ourselves, doing for ourselves, proving ourselves to God. The gospel is not self-definition. It is Christ's atoning work for us. And so Paul wants to bring the people of Galatia to a great promise here this morning. A great promise that God has resolved to make them His own. And they belong to Him, not as slaves, but as children. So this morning, I want you to see that in the text. Notice there in verse 26 through 29. For in Christ Jesus, you are all sons of God through faith. Isn't that a beautiful statement? A beautiful reality of the adopting love of God that puts life in order. We are received. If you're struggling with sin this morning, by faith, claim Jesus. By faith, rest, because the promise is you will be received. Received joyfully by God. You can't work your way into the family. Stop trying. Rest. He resolves to receive and meet us where we are, and He changes us absolutely. But rest. And I show you that because God's promise. For in Christ Jesus, you are all sons of God. We are all children of identity and inheritance. Identity and inheritance. That's what God has for us, that we would be changed. He gives us a new name and a new way. A new heart and a new goal for life. And you see that in this passage. He is committed to break down the inequalities and the misidentities that mark us in life. Yesterday I was walking into Walmart. I often get a short list. Marion's not here today. She's taking care of our daughter who has a fever. We didn't want to share that with you this morning. And so yesterday I got a short list to go to the store. And I'm walking in the store. And as I walk into the store, there's a lady who's walking out of the store. And she had a t-shirt on. And I read t-shirts. And it says something like, it's a Callaway thing. You can't get this. And of course, what I do is, of course I can. Tell me what it is. But immediately, this relationship of someone I've never spoken to, don't know, immediately I'm boxed out, aren't I? It's a Callaway thing. You can't get this. I have no idea if it was golf or family name. It was a t-shirt that made no sense to me, but it was like she was walking out the door like this. Hand to the face. Out of my way. Now, her posture wasn't there, but her t-shirt was there. And the truth is, we live in a world where we make designations, where we set up boundaries, where we push people away in order to feel safe on the inside. And that's exactly what was happening in the church at Galatia, right? Boundary making, and God comes, and the family of God breaks down the boundaries. It breaks and blasts through the barriers. When Paul says here in verse 28, when he says, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is neither male nor female. It's not that he's against money, ethnicity, gender. No, those are all gifts of God, but He is against those things being used to box people out of the family of God. You see, we're all sons. God is breaking down the boundaries and the barriers of relationship. Ethnicity, it's not a dividing mark in the kingdom of God. Economics and social order, it's not a barrier in the kingdom of God. Gender, God-given as it is, it's not a barrier in the kingdom of God. We all come equally with need to be children, sons of God Most High. Those aren't the things that mark us. No, Jesus, an identity in Jesus, that marks us. You see, the kingdom is intent on drawing people into a family. No favoritism. Once we were in a foreign country and we had our kids there, I was teaching a course on marriage and family in a Bible college. And we would walk up to people and we had, at that time, I think we had three, maybe we had four. I can't look at Mary, and she's not here today. She always remembers those details better than me. I think we had our three sons, and Carabeth was tiny. Actually, I remember now. I carried her everywhere we went. She was tiny. But we would walk up to people, and they would say, "This one is our favorite." They would look at my three sons, and they would instantly declare, just by walking up, "This one is our favorite." And my sons, they were like confused by this. You know, the one who was the favorite kind of liked it. They liked being favored, but the other two were like, "Huh?" And so I finally had to say to the people who were transforming, "Please don't translate that. Even if they say it, please don't translate that. We don't do favorites in our family. We don't do favorites in our family." You see what God is doing here in this passage? He's saying family unity trumps favoritism. The world around you constantly plays favorites. But when He says in verse, "Children, by faith we are all children of God," He is putting the crush on favoritism, and He is building the strength of a family that is bound together. He is building up our identity, breaking down the barriers so He can build up our belonging. That's what you see there in verse 27. "For as many of you were baptized into Christ, have put on Christ." Now that idea there, baptism is this identity of being set apart unto. Clothed in the New Testament world had that idea of being enclosed in or shaped by or brought by. And we are clothed in the righteousness of Christ. What forms our identity? Well, it's not the color of your skin. It's not the gender that you have. It's not even your socioeconomic status. What forms us in the kingdom of God is the gift of His righteousness that forms our right standing with God. What forms the belonging of the one who trusts in Jesus? But having put on Christ. We know that clothes matter. This morning I'm in a suit and Chris is in a suit. You can probably look and tell which one's the preacher and which one's the lawyer this morning. But you know that those are often, the way we dress are often issues of career. Now, you don't wear a suit every day, do you? Every day, he's a lawyer, he wears a suit. I don't wear a suit every day, just when I stand in the pulpit. But there is something about that kind of sets apart. Now, that may not be as true in culture as it once was, but there is this sense in which what you put on displays something about you. We know that. That's why designer jeans makes big bucks and generic jeans don't. Because we want to put on the name. But here's the point. The idea of belonging in the Christian life, it is all a part of being in Christ. We have put on Christ. That's our identity. That's the identity of the believer. And every time that comes at you, every time that orphan posture hits, "I didn't do enough today for God," you need to consider your dress. Who have you put on? It's not Armani, it's Jesus Christ. We are put into Christ. We have put on Christ because His righteousness guards our lives. Who are you? How would you answer that question? Who are you? Father, mother, brother, sister, friend, foe? How you answer that question is really important because it says something about your identity. But the point here is, with no favoritism, we are sons of God by faith in Jesus Christ. The idea of His identity is our identity, and His inheritance is our inheritance. Paul is being very theological. He's being very forthright with our relationship with God. And his goal is to remind us that we belong and that we have much to treasure. It's identity, but it's also inheritance. Notice there in verse 29, we are the possession of God with the promise of God. Verse 29, and if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to the promise. And if you are Christ's. He's reflecting again the very thing he said in verse 26. For in Christ Jesus, you are all sons of God. If you are in Christ, you belong, and you are God's possession. We belong to Him, and He belongs to us. And one of the things with five kids, one of the things we sometimes say when things go wrong and people begin to question identity, it's just a part of parenting. It's a part of being a parent. When you question identity, we talk about the fact that there's no halfway Colemans. You're all Coleman. There's no halfway Coleman. You're all Coleman. You may not like being Coleman at this morning. You might not like Dad Coleman at this moment, but you're a Coleman and you ain't getting away from it. Now, that is something that we all wrestle with, isn't it? Who are we? In Christ, we are owned in the beautiful way of loving family, of being a child. That parent-child relationship, it's a very important one in Christianity because the goal of Christianity is to draw us near, to hold us fast, that we may live in the family of God for an eternity. When the hardest parts of life come, who do you want near? That says something about relationship, doesn't it? It's not activity that concerns Jesus first and foremost. It's relationship. And here the heart of Paul is that we would know that we are the possession of Christ. And if you are Christ's, then you are Abraham's offspring, heir according to the promise. It's a presence tense reality. Yes, the inheritance is much to come. There will be a time when God puts away the whole presence of sin. And you and I won't struggle with the presence of sin anymore. Glorification will come and all things will be made right. Right now, we're not there. We're still dealing with the pollution of sin and God's work in us. But the inheritance is ours. We are children of promise even today. And that's how we are to live. We're to live as children of promise with the joys of Christ. You see, according to the promise that was made to Abraham thousands of years before, you are heirs according to promise. What is His is yours. What is His is Christ's. The very promise to Abraham is that there was a son, a seed that was coming who would redeem the world. And what belonged to Abraham now belongs to us because Jesus is the answer to our greatest need. You see, a good father gives good gifts to his own. A good father gives good gifts to his children. Christianity is first and foremost a picture of family. Sons, not slaves. John Wesley. He hung out with a group of guys during college. They had formed a group growing up as a pastor's kid, formed a group in college that was called the Holy Club. And they were determined to do good things for God. They all tithed. They all gave generously. They all did works of ministry and service in the community. Wesley himself, I actually spent some time coming overseas to that foreign country of America, and he did mission work among the Indians in Georgia. On his way back, he realized that while he had in many activities for God, he had little relationship with God. And he was with some Moravians who had a deep, abiding relationship with God, and he was transformed. It was the beginning of a transformation from activity to relationship. As he reflected on God calling to himself to a relationship, God converting him, he said, "I went to America, I went to convert Indians, and I was not yet converted. I had the faith of a servant, and yet not the faith of a son." That sonship changed and transformed his life. He still did many of the same things that he had done before, but it was from a different posture. It was from the posture of beloved and belonging that he was able to serve Jesus. And friend, that's what God gives us this morning. He gives us the gift of becoming a child of God. If by faith you trust him, I promise you are accepted. And you have assurance. If you trust Jesus, you are accepted and you have assurance. Do you feel accepted this morning? What's the measure of Jesus' acceptance? But that he came, he lived a perfect life. He died a death in your place. He rose triumphantly and promises to you life evermore. No one has ever been more committed to you than Jesus is. And he will continue. Because of all he has done, we are accepted. The beauty of the gospel is that acceptance is rich for us. It is rich. This idea of a family member is something that begins to transform us. We begin to display the resemblance of Christ in our life. There's a family resemblance. Many of you know I was adopted as a newborn. I was adopted. Dad, Don, here on the front row over on the left, he adopted me. My mom and dad were unable to have kids, and so they adopted two boys, Wade and Lance. Actually, I got to choose Lance's name. Mom wanted to name him Christopher. Dad wanted to name him Lance. They put me in the middle, and I actually crawled to Dad this time. It was a great surprise to my mom, because I always crawled to her, and so he became Lance Christopher. But as we grew up, Lance and I, as we grew up, people would always say to us, because my mom had blonde hair and my dad had dark hair at the time, now we both have gray hair, but he had dark hair and I had dark hair at the time, I'd walk out into public and people would say, "You look like your mom," to Lance, "and you look like your dad." Wherever we went, and when we would tell them that we were adopted, they would go, "No, there's no way you're adopted. The family resemblance is so true." It's funny, now I have my own adopted son, and wherever Noah and I go, people will say, when they look at Marion and I, they'll say, "Noah looks like you." All Mediterranean little boy that he is, Noah looks like you. Here's the beauty of the gospel. When you belong to the beloved, you begin to resemble him. And God knows that. And God is committed to pour His love out upon you in the beginning, because He knows when you get hold of the love of God, you will be transformed in a way that you will begin to display the love of God. Family of God, it's not our works, but our relationship that guards and guides our acceptance and our assurance. The family resemblance, as we rest deeply upon Jesus, it is sure to come. If you know Jesus, rest in His acceptance and run on the assurance that He gives, because that's where our identity and our inheritance is anchored this morning. In the love of Christ the Savior, by the plan of the Father, in the power and the working of the Spirit, our triune God. Please pray with me. Our Father in heaven, The gift of adoption is actually more, often more than we contemplate. But Father, would you help us to contemplate your good gift this morning? It would have been enough if you had just made us servants of the Most High. But Father, would you impress upon our hearts that you have gone so much further, that the beauty of adoption as children of God is what guides everything in our life from beginning to end. Help us, Father, to be a people who resemble the name in which we're called. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.